That's enough. It's okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. You know, I got to tell you, I'm probably like a lot of you. I love coming here at summer break. You know, and the real truth is that when I come here, it just reminds me what it's all about and why they don't get it. You see, Gordon Campbell doesn't get it, and Christy Clark never got it, and the Liberals don't get it. They don't get that long after they're gone, teachers who care about kids, teachers who care about this province are going to come here and debate and go out and fight for public education in this province, and you're going to keep on doing that, because that's what it's about. So thank you. Thank you very much. What a year, eh? What a year, really, when you think about it, you know? That first year and a half of the Liberals was pretty grim. But I got to say, I got to feel a little hope this year. And I want to say thanks to you for some of that hope. Because that hope didn't come because I hoped it. It came because people like you went out and fought for it. And so one of the great accomplishments I think you accomplished for the children of this province was that Christy Clark got a pink slip from her own government and got canned, right? And that was a good thing for all of us. Folks, I'll tell you, I felt great that day. But listen, I want to talk about some other problems because that didn't solve all the problems, I'll tell you that much. The other thing that I was proud to be part of, and I know you were, was the College of Teachers. And the reason that that was such a good fight, I believe, was because it really demonstrated how ideologically bankrupt the government was. That they went out there with a plan that said the democracy of the teachers' college was going to be torn up, and at the end of the day, it was going to be run by liberals for liberals to attack teachers, and expected everybody was going to say, okay, where do I pay? And guess what? You didn't. It was wonderful. I didn't get the money. And let me tell you, it doesn't get much better than winning the battle to get the teachers elected to it and then still writing the check to pay for it. That's really a good thing, you know? It doesn't get much better than that. And the lesson of that fight, really, and what I want to say, because I know that Gordon's speaking later, but I also want, on behalf of working people and the people who ran for school trustees across this province, thank the school trustees for standing up for the government on this one, too, because they were really important to this fight. So thank you, Gordon, and thank your colleagues on behalf of that. You know, a lot of other things have happened in this province. The other thing that I learned a lot about was something called a charter for public education. And you know, we have a lot of criticisms of what goes on in the system these days. But what British Columbians want also is a vision for what we can have for our kids. We don't want hope to go with the criticism. And the Charter for Public Education was set up, and it went around the province and heard from hundreds and hundreds of British Columbians. And it wasn't going to happen without you at the BCCF making that happen. And you made it happen. Now here comes the really good news. The really good news is you made it happen, and you made it happen so well that now they've gone off and set up the Charter for Public Education on their own and got around and got people to sign up, a broad group of public to sign up, to continue to build the fight for public education in British Columbia. And I'm really happy to say that I'm going to be one of those people sitting on that charter and fighting for public education on behalf of people here. You see, I think British Columbians actually get it. They actually get without education, we don't have much of a chance for our kids to get much of a future in this province. And also, more than that, they don't have much of a chance to build the kind of democratic society we want to live in. Because educated people are what it takes to have democracy. And I've got all the list of things here of all the cuts, and I'm not going to go into them because you know all about it. But I was reading about the Fraser Institute study the other day, and it became clear to me the fundamental difference between us and the folks in Victoria these days isn't about money, it's about values. It's about what's important to us as working people, as ordinary people in this province. And that's really what this battle is over values. And what they've taken away from people is hope. Every time they raise the tuition another $2,000 or $3,000, they take hope away from another British Columbia or hundreds of British Columbians. Every time they cut the funding for special needs kids, and cut the funding for lunch programs for kids in our schools in the inner cities, they're taking away hope from British Columbians. They're taking away their future, and that's fundamentally wrong. And the Fraser Institute runs around and says, oh, that St. George's school is wonderful, wonderful. Well, I'll tell you what, here's the basic difference. The basic difference between what you do and what they do at St. George's is you do it for everybody and they get to choose. And right now, we're not going to choose in this province because everybody has a right to an education, and that's what we're fighting for in this province. It's a fundamental. Well, I got to say that I'm feeling more hopeful these days, looking over in Victoria, because actually they seem to have a problem. You have an incredibly open convention here. Let them walk in and sit down. They'd be well to come here and listen, actually, and learn something about education for a change. But actually, you know, they're not a very open government, if you haven't figured that out yet. The other day, I think, was a good example. We've decided in this province, the Liberals have decided, that, you know, funding for Women's Centre isn't such a good idea, so they've cut the funding. So five women went over there last week to tell them about it and explain why that's hurt British Columbian women. You know, it's not just those five women. I think that's a general consensus. In fact, the UN, United Nations, you know, passed a report that basically condemned our government for how they were treating women. Of course, our government, instead of listening to them, of course, had them arrested. So it's great style on their part, you know. Because actually what they were going to say to them and what they said to them was pretty simple. That if you took all the money you spent on the government's healthcare ads, now we're not talking about taking care of people now, they're ads, you could keep the women's centers open for 11 years. That would be a better use of that funds, don't you think? Then, of course, they're having a little problem with the law these days. You know, they seem to be having a little problem there. I don't know if they can get some help, but you know, it was quite a spectacle to watch the RCMP taking the boxes out of the Parliament buildings. And I got to say, I know there's some stuff in there that's rotten, and I know there's some rotten things going on in this province, but the real crime isn't what's in those boxes, it's what they're doing to this province. BC Rail is another example. Maybe as a metaphor of the Liberals, eh? The metaphor of the Liberals. They've run in 96, and Gordon Campbell says, I'm selling the place. And in 96, he got defeated. So the spin doctor said, well, in 2001, say you're not going to sell it, Gordon. Just tell him you're not going to sell it. So he said, we're not going to sell it. Honest, promise. Of course, we've learned now that when he says promise, it means the opposite. But anyway, so he says he's not going to sell it. So then he goes in and he says, I think we're going to sell it. And he goes out and he starts to sell the railway. But the first thing they do is they shut down the passenger service all up into the interior. Because somehow it's being subsidized out of the profits from BC Rail, $15 million a year. And that, of course, is a crime against something called the market or something. Now, no one says that about the West Coast Express that comes in from Mission for everybody in the Lower Mainland, or about the transit system in the Lower Mainland that somehow it's criminal because we're subsidizing it. But that seemed to apply to people up in the interior. And so now we have a situation where they've gone ahead and sold it to CN. They've made $100 million every year. For the last 5 years, they made $100 million this year and last year, and is expected to make the money. That's why CN bought it. But now we have a spectrum where the passenger service is going to be put back on the railway, but it's only going to be for people who can pay $2,000 to get from here to Prince George on this luxury car. And so really, it's sort of a metaphor for this government, isn't it? First you break your promise, then you close down the service for ordinary folks, and then you bring a train on, it only takes rich folks up to the interior. I got to tell you, I think we got to keep fighting because BC Rail should not be sold. It belongs to the people of BC, and it should stay with the people of British Columbia. You know, we can't sell the province. They seem to think they can, but they can't sell the province because actually, I'm kind of proud of the place, and I think most people are. And they don't really want it sold. And I talk to people from all political stripes. For Christ's sakes, we had a rally up in Prince George, and there was Bill Vanderzam on the BC Fed stage. It's pretty crazy sometimes, politics. I went, oh, holy Christ, where am I? Bill Vanderzam. You know, I'm sitting there with the local guy who ran the election campaign for the Liberals, the campaign manager, telling me how I got to be more militant. Well, we're ready. Come on. And why is that? Because fundamentally, people know the battle in this province is over whether or not it's going to be a place for all British Columbians to have a chance to have hope, and whether we're going to maintain some control of it so our kids can have something decent. It's not complicated. That's what the fight's over. And we have to call it politics some days. We have to call it lots of things some days. It's collective bargaining. At the end of it, it's just a struggle between those of this province who want a future and want to own it and want to be part of it and those who are interested in selling it. In my opinion, the people who want to sell it are on the run, and we've got to keep pushing them as fast as we can. Because, frankly, it's time for them to go. I want to talk a bit about the future. There's a lot of stuff on our agenda. We have a lot of challenges ahead of us. There's a lot to celebrate today and this week, this month, but there's also a lot that we have to sit down and get serious about doing in this province. I want to talk a bit about bargaining tables. There's a number of them, your own. Healthcare workers need some justice in this province. They're going to the bargaining table. They're taking a strike vote today. Sisters and brothers, the labor movement has to be there for those folks when they get in front of that government again. And we're going to have to be there for them. We have to send the message loud and clear that tearing up collective agreements, no matter whose they are or whose they belong to, is tearing up a collective agreement for everybody in this province, every union member in this province. You know, there's two, in my opinion, two fundamental things for working people that have changed our lives and the lives of the people who came before us. The first one is collective bargaining and the trade union movement. No question in my mind, whatever you read in the papers, ignore it. And it's so good to hear that nobody reads them anymore. But you know, whatever you read in the paper, ignore it. We all know in this room, and the average working person knows, that when you're in a union, you're better off. Your family's better off. You're safer at work. You have a pension retire, so you don't retire to poverty, you retire to dignity. You actually get to retire. You know, when you look back and what we're sitting here celebrating in this room, a whole lot of people gave a whole lot to get it, and it was the union movement that got it for us, and that means us. But the other thing that's so critical to us in the movement, so critical to working people, to all of us who believe in a public good, is democracy. That's the other pillar we stand on. If the trade union movement is weak, and we can look at democracy, because it's probably weak too. And where the trade union movement is strong and people are involved and they're active and we have power, then look at democracy, because it's probably stronger too, and more fair and more balanced. And if we ignore one or the other, we do it at our own peril. Let me tell you, if we haven't learned a lesson before we elected this government in this province, we ought to know now there's a direct relationship between a ballot box and a paycheck and what happens to our lives and our communities. And if we let them do what they want with democracy, you know what they do? They use it as a tool to sell out what we want and turn the clock backwards. Just look around the world. Don't believe me. Go to the countries that don't have democracy. Ask yourself where the trade union movement is, and you'll probably find them in jail, hiding out somewhere, or in a graveyard. And you know what? Those same countries, Shell Oil has no problem going there. IBM has no problem going there. The corporations have no problems going to those governments. So when you get right down to it, they don't really care about democracy so much. In fact, that's why they passed trade laws, massive free trade agreements that take away our democracy and our rights to make decisions. And so we have to, as a movement, make a commitment not only to collective bargaining and our rights on the job, but to democracy and our rights as citizens in this province, in this country, and in this world. And that's the challenge we're facing in the next period of time. It's a political challenge. It means that we have to get organized and go out there. Because, sisters and brothers, we can't afford another 4 years of the Liberals. The people of this province can't afford it. And I know for goddamn sure the kids can't afford it. And so we've got a job to do. And I think we're going to be up to that job. Well, don't applaud too loud yet. Don't applaud too loud yet, because I'm going to have to ask you to do more. We put together a political action plan. A lot of it was at the insistence at our convention amongst yourself of your delegates saying we need a more strategic plan. Well, we've done that. We've spent 5 days together as leaders of the labor movement and staff talking about how we're going to go out there and organize. And let me tell you, we're not going to win the next election by buying a lot of ads, okay? We're going to win the next, and let me tell you, for every ad we buy, they're going to buy 10. Because you know what? We don't got money. Money's not our stuff. You know who we are? We're people. At the end of the day, our strongest base is people. If we got a job to do with our members, we have 500,000 people in this province who have a union card in their pocket, and families. We got to go out there starting now, not 3 weeks before the election, running around saying the sky's falling, we got to vote them out. We got to go out there now, starting now, and start talking about what's going on in this province and what they want to do with it, and make sure that we are engaged with our members. Because they call us labor bosses, people like me, that guy, tough guy, Neil there. They call us labor bosses, but the truth is the boss of our movement are people. And we've got to go out there because we believe these people have to be gone and engage them in that struggle and engage them in politics, not just in the provincial election, federal elections, the municipal elections, school board elections, but also in politics day to day so that we do end up with a right-wing government. People are conscious of what's going on, and they're not going to get it from the newspapers. Christ, you think nothing was happening in this province when you pick up the newspaper most day. Let me do my advertisement, thetie.com. Anybody ever heard of it? Yes, that's our newspaper, folks. Tune in. And you know, that's going to be a hell of a job. And there's risks to this. It's going to piss some people off. They're not going to like that we're doing this. But you know, we have to do this. There's no shortcut to this job. And I think if we all do it, not one union or one region, but if we all do this, then people will be very much aware of what's happening the next election and what the choices are. In the meantime, I want to end by thanking you all for not just being here every day for the next 3 or 4 days talking about the future of this province and the future of education, but I really got to thank you for going to school every day and taking care of the real business of this province, which is making sure youth and young people have a future and they have hope. And you do that every day, and you deserve the thanks of every working person in this province, because no matter what the Weston Foundation tells you, the Fraser Institute tells you, and tells working people in this province, we know. We know in our guts, we know every time we look in the eyes of our kids, if the public education system doesn't work, then we all lose. And when it does work, and when it is supported by governments, and when teachers are given the respect they deserve, then every kid and every child in this province is a winner. So let's go out there and be winners and defend this system and fight for what we believe in. Thank you very much, sisters and brothers. Things that I've really enjoyed doing over the last few years is working with Neil. And I understand he's one of those people that thinks retirement's the thing you should do. What he doesn't know is that when he retires, of course, he just works for free for the rest of us. We got to work that out later. But, you know, Neil was sitting not only as your president, but as a vice president of the Federation of Labor for the last year. I really enjoyed working with him, and having the teachers there has made a huge difference. You knew you made the right decision when Christy Clark hated it. And I want to tell you, every day that you're there, we have a stronger federation, and working people in this province are stronger. So on behalf of the federation and working people in this province, I want to thank Neil for the great job he's done for working people, not just for teachers, but for all of us in this province. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Jim, and thank you as always for your words of support for public education, for teachers, and of course, for children in this province. Thank you, and thank you for the gift.